a new day. I think it might have been my sunrise title. But today we're going to talk about a new way. And about 3 weeks ago, I started looking at, I just was in my mind, I said, you know, I wonder what Jesus was doing like 2 weeks before the cross. So actually 4 weeks probably. About 2 weeks before the cross, I wonder what he was doing. So I went back through the Gospels and I figured out where he was and what he was doing. He had healed the blind man. The man had been born blind. Then he raised Lazarus from the dead. Then he traveled to Bethany. Man, he was back and forth. He did a lot of traveling, and that led us up to last week. You know what he was, the crucifixion and of course the resurrection. I say that the sunrise service was a new day, and that resurrection brought hope to everyone, especially over the deal with the grave and death that faces us. But it also told us that God the Father was satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and mine, ours, sin. He was satisfied with that. He raised his son from the dead. So that's a great thing. And then in the main service, I preached on being transformed by the cross. And on Sunday morning, and I wanted to understand that you cannot understand the resurrection until you understand the cross and what that meant. And so we think about this. There was believers, and this is, you know, there's stuff. I mean, I've been pastoring 29 years. I mean, there's stuff that I see that I just never looked at before. You know, you start seeing different things. And I just never really thought about this, but the amount of people that believed in Jesus before the cross, and then there was some that were transformed by the cross, the thief, the Roman soldier, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. They had really believed in Jesus beforehand, but they were cowards up until the day of the cross. And when they came up and begged the body of Jesus, they were transformed by what transpired on the cross. They were transformed by that. And I just never thought about that before. The amount of people that believed, and I'll tell you why in a minute. I got something else to throw in there that I never saw before either, although I did partly see it, but I just didn't know the reason why. But then today, you know, it just hit me why this happened this way. But they were transformed. There was one, they believed on him before anything, cross or resurrection. And then there was those that were transformed by the power of the cross. And then there were those that were transformed, you know, after the cross. And so I really wanted to start thinking about that today. We start thinking about after the crucifixion, things that took place. And at the end of the sunrise service, I left off with those Emmaus Road disciples. You remember those guys? We only know one of them's name. His name is Cleopas. I'm glad my mom and dad didn't name me Cleopas, but that was his name. His name was Cleopas. And hopefully your name's not Cleopas. But we don't know the other guy's name, but, you know, we saw them. It's a great picture. They were leaving Jerusalem. They waited after Passover was over with, and so Sunday morning they were heading back to Emmaus, and how dejected and discouraged and confused. They didn't understand anything that was going on, but they was not happy. And then Jesus met them in the way. And the Bible tells us that he opened their eyes, their understanding. We'll talk about that in a minute. But and then when that happened, they turned around and he showed up. And their whole lives changed from that point forward. Remember, they were ready to turn in because they were tired, and they asked Jesus to stay with them. And then once he opened their eyes and he departed from their presence, boy, the next thing you know, they were going all the way back to Jerusalem, man. They had something to say. I mean, a new cut in their strut and a glide in their stride, man. They was on the way back. They weren't tired any longer. They were excited about the news that they had. And that's where I want to pick. This is where the narrative picks up today, right there with that. I want to go to chapter 24, verse 33, and it's talking about those two Emmaus Road disciples. It says, and they rose up the same hour. Remember that? That's great. They were ready to turn into sleep. The same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the ones that were with them said, Lord, is the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they, the Emmaus Road disciples, and they told what things were done in the way, how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified, affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Same thing he told the Emmaus Road disciples when he was talking with them. And he opened their understanding, and that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until he be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I mean, I tell you what, there's some good stuff going on right here. There was a lot of things that we see here that took place when we look all the way back to last week, what we talked about. A lot of opened things. A lot of things were opened up. There was an open tomb. There was an open eyes. There was open minds. There was open mouths that we see right down here when they were praising God. There was open mouths. And so, I talked about the ones that were believed before the cross even, and then those that were transformed by the cross itself. And then now I'm going to tell you about the ones from thereafter. The very first thing we see is an open tomb. So we talked about the resurrection last week. We talk about that a lot. And, you can see the change. We saw the gloom and the doom in the Emmaus Road disciples. And I'm sure the other disciples that were sitting around at Jerusalem still, they were wondering. They were meeting in they ended up meeting in a room. But before Sunday morning, when Mary and Peter and those ran down to the tomb, before that minute, everybody was in a depressed state dealing with the death of Christ. But then the grave was found empty, and Jesus began to appear to his followers. He appeared to Mary. He called her by name. Mary, man, she was excited. He appeared to some of the other ones. It said Simon. He appeared there. The Bible tells us in a couple other accounts that Jesus appeared to over 500 followers at the same time. So everybody knew it wasn't a hallucination. You can't get everybody hallucinate the same thing at the same time. We tried that in the 60s. We never could get that to work out. But you can't get that happen. That's how they know it wasn't a hallucination. And so he appeared to the Emmaus Road disciples, and now he shows up in this room that they were meeting but here's the thing I want you to understand. This took me a long time, and I picked up on this a couple years ago, but I never gave it as much thought. I thought I'd really found out something then. But it's not recorded that anywhere in the Bible that Jesus appeared to anybody other than people that were believers of his already. It don't say that he went and appeared to a bunch of lost people. And I'm thinking to me and myself, and this is the flesh talking right here, I can guarantee you this. This is the flesh right here. I'm thinking, if I was Jesus and I had raised up from the dead, I can see it now. I mean, I got a smart alecky streak, and I would be wearing it out. I could go up to Pilate. Hey, you remember me? You remember me? How about going to see the high priest? Oh, hey, you remember when y'all smacked me upside the head and sent me? Remember that? Huh? Now what? Huh? Guess what? I would have gone around to all the lost people that didn't believe in me in the past and say, well, here I am. But Jesus didn't do that. Nope. And don't you start thinking about this. Isn't that odd? Huh? Man, listen, he went to the people that believed in him beforehand. The people that, and you know what? He didn't run around. Well, why? Well, I have to think about this a little bit. Well, number one thing, he doesn't want us to believe in him just because of some spectacular miracle that he did. Matter of fact, there was a place in the Bible that tells us when Jesus walked as a man that he didn't do very many miracles in that area because he knew all men's hearts. He knew they didn't really love him and they didn't believe in him for anything else. One thing at a time, right? You throw two in there. But I can do something, man, and we can do things to get a crowd, but that ain't what God wants. Huh? That's not what he wants from us. I'm telling you what, and here's what the Bible says. I thought about this morning. I'm in there saving us. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what he wants. He wants us to love him because of who he is, not what he does. Not what he does, even though he did save us, right? So what it was think about them people. Think of the faith that it took for his followers to believe in him and follow him, and they had never seen the cross or the resurrection either. But they had already followed Jesus, believed something was different. That thief on the cross, they didn't see the resurrection. That Roman soldier said, "This is the Son of God." He hadn't seen the resurrection. I mean, man, they're walking by somewhat by. They did operate in the realm of sight, what they did see, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We didn't see none. We didn't see Jesus on the cross. We just got it written in the book. We didn't see an empty tomb. We just got it written in the book. See, we got the kind of faith that the early disciples had before Jesus did anything. We're operating now just on the power of his word. And the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart. But I just thought that was odd, that he never appeared to anybody that believed. Now, here's another point. A lot of people say, "Well, you know, preacher, I just don't hear from God. I just ain't hear anything from God." Let me ask you this. Are you looking for him? Are you seeking him?
Amen.
Seek, and you shall find, the Bible said. The Bible doesn't say you just don't accidentally find him. You're just walking around the road one day, just thinking around, and all of a sudden, you find anything deeper about God. No, you got to look for that. You know, when you seek, you'll find it. I want to deep. And this is the whole point. We got a meeting coming up, not this week, but next week, a revival meeting, right? Brother Dwayne's going to be up here. Who's going to come out here? Somebody that wants to find out something about Jesus. Somebody that wants to hear from God. Somebody that wants their soul and spirit revived up to another level other than the one that they're in now.
Amen.
I might add the lame one that they may be in now, right? I mean, somebody, that's who's going to, people want, people that go around. I told Brother Harold, man, we like never got his date settled. Because he wanted to go hear Brother Lee preach, and he got the dates mixed up. He wanted to go hear some preaching, man, somewhere else. And I said, "Man, well, I'll accommodate you however we can." We got it back to the original date, by the way. But man, I mean, people that go to meetings. Who goes to these revival meetings around here? Brother McNeil has them all the time. Man, I try to invite people. We'll have a couple people from Valley View. It'll be the same ones that'll go. What, these people are looking for something from God. Who's going to come back to church tonight? Huh? I'm going to tell you who. The people that want to hear some preaching of the Word of God. I mean, I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but I'm going to give you the truth the best I can. I'm going to give you the truth of what I know. Who's going to come back to church on Sunday night? Somebody that wants to hear something from God. Somebody that wants God to speak to their heart. And who's he going to speak to? Is he going to speak to you laying in the lazy boy with a pizza crust on your belly watching reruns of who knows what? No, he's not. This is it. This is who Jesus reveals himself to. To people that believe in him. To people that loved him. To people that were looking for him. That's who he revealed himself to. Well, we can sense a lot of excitement in those people, the atmospheric change. When those guys got there, they had a story to tell. And they were going back to Jerusalem. And they said, man, they what did they do when they got to Jerusalem? They looked for the other believers. They had an idea where they were. And they got out where the other believers were. And boom, man, they got there and they're ready to tell something. And before they could get anything out they wanted to see, the other people said, "Hey, the Lord is risen indeed." The other disciples were telling them, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he's already appeared to Simon." Now, they hadn't seen him, but they know Peter had. Right? He's telling them. And then said, "Well, wait a minute, we got something to tell you. We met him in a row down here, man." Well, you can feel the buzz, man. They're excited, huh? Now, today, hey, what's Jesus done for you this week? This is Wednesday night. What have Jesus done for you this week? Anybody got anything to say? What exciting happened in your life? Nothing. Not them. They got something to say. They got something to say. Why? Because they was in a meeting with Jesus. They had met with Jesus. So then the next thing we see, the second point, we see some opened eyes. Last week we talked about the Emmaus Road disciples. And right back in the in our text that we're in Luke 24, in verse 31, it said, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And then verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened the scriptures unto us? Man, listen, their hearts had burned within them beforehand. And what was Jesus doing? He was sharing the same scriptures that he shared with them when he met them in the upper room about all the Old Testament scriptures that concerned him, because they didn't have New Testament yet, about Moses and the prophets and all the scriptures that concerned himself. He shared the same thing with them in the upper room that he did with the Emmaus Road disciples down the road. And they said, before their eyes were even open, afterwards they said, boy, you know, wasn't our hearts burning? Our hearts were burning, man, when he was talking with us, by the way, when he was going down the road. And then Jesus, it said, he opened their spiritual eyes. Now, here's the point. How's this work for me and you? Right here. The Word of God. You read and or hear preaching of the Word of God. And what happens with, and God starts speaking to your heart and starts burning in your heart. And then guess what? Your spiritual eyes will then be open. That's how it works. So what do you, don't neglect this. It's not a coaster for the coffee table.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. Get the Word of God, man, and say, listen, man, I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to study. I want to hear preaching of the Word of God. If you get a burning, you want a burning heart, come back tonight. And they'll be preaching on the Word of God. They'll be preaching today. There's preaching at Sunday school. There's teaching on the Word of God. We're going to have a meeting next week. And then Brother Wayne, each night, you'd be surprised how listening to preaching day after day after day. And I've seen this work at Bible Camp over and over and over again. We take them kids away. We get them stupid cell phones out of their hands. We get them stupid video games out. Get their mind out of that. Ain't no wonder everybody's killing everybody all over the place. That's all them video games. Woo, 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 killing everybody. We get all that junk out of them, and they get preaching at chapel time in the morning, and they get preaching at chapel time at night, and they have devotion time in the room before they go to bed, huh? And you would be surprised in about 3 days, huh? This is kind of like the resurrection, right? About 3 days of that, and on the fourth day, Wednesday morning, boy, Wednesday night, we call for altar call, and it would fill up with teenagers would be piled up. You couldn't even get out of the pulpit. You couldn't get off the stage because the kids piled up there crying. Impact, huh? Yeah, because they've been around the Word of God.
Amen.
I remember we had little Baden's birthday picture up there on their Terry's granddaughter. And I remember one time we got back from Bible camp, and there was another girl that went to Bible camp who never usually had a smiley face on her. I remember Baden, she was standing right there around the corner, and she stood there and she said, "What happened to?" I ain't gonna give her name. What happened to? She's smiling. I tell you what happened. She's been under preaching morning and night for just 5 days. It makes a difference right here in the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't neglect it. I ain't hearing from God. I ain't looking to hear anything from God. Huh? When does he speak, man? Jesus got up a great while before day, the Bible says, and he talked to the Father. And you know, I'm going to talk about that tonight probably, but and this is what happens. And so it shows importance. And so we have this testimony and witness in the open tomb, the eyewitness accounts, the angel's testimony. We've got the scripture testimony. We do today. We've got Old Testament prophecy concerning Christ. And now we have New Testament testimony of the living Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. Every person needs to have their own experience with Christ. That's every person has to have their own experience. I can't have it for you. Huh? We can get somebody excited, but we've got to have our own testimony ourselves. What has Jesus done for you? I'm talking about lately. Yeah, preacher, I remember 40 years ago, there I was on the mountaintop, and Jesus spoke to me, boy, and I remember I got saved that day. All right, that's 40 years ago. What happened last week? Huh? What about last month? Huh? Everybody's testimony is 40, 50 years old, for crying out loud. What Jesus did for him. You ought to have a testimony every day. And what Jesus has done for you every day. If you have an experience with Christ every day, you have to have. And in order to have that, listen, your eyes have to be open. Your eyes have to be open to the truth of God's word. And then the next thing we know, notice we'll see an open mind. In our text, verse 36, on the wrong page. You know, when you get old, your fingers don't work like they used to. What do you know about it? Amen. 30-something here and 40 years old. It said in the text here in verse 36 down through, well, I'm not going to read it all, because it's 36 down through 45 is when Jesus appeared and he started speaking about breaking the bread, and Jesus appeared to him and he said, here's my hands, my feet, and handle me, give me something to eat and all that. And so what happened? And after Jesus had, the Emmaus Road disciples had made it back to Jerusalem, they found the other disciples that we spoke about in the room, and Jesus appears, and it said, look what it said in one of the verses. It said, in verse 37, Jesus stood in the midst in 36 and said, peace be unto you. In 37, he said, they were terrified and affrighted. That's two things, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. In Mark's account of this, Jesus actually rebuked them just a little bit. I'm sure it was a mild rebuke. It said he upbraided them. Upbraided them is the word he used, but it's mild. He rebuked them for what? Their unbelief. In other words, we would say it like this. Haven't I been telling you this all along, over and over, and I've been telling you all these things, and they were afraid of unbelief. Listen, unbelief always makes us afraid. Because if I said this right here, I'm going to do it, man. Y'all going to bob your head up now and get it going. Go ahead. Is God in control of all things?
Amen.
Then what are you afraid of? Huh? Everybody's in a panic about the stock market and the price of gas and what's going to go on over in the Middle East. Is God in control of all things?
Yes.
Then what are you worried about? That's fear, but when we understand these things, and Jesus is telling them, you know what? He goes, listen, your unbelief, what are you afraid of? That's what he said. What are you afraid of? I told you I was going to resurrect from the dead. And you think about this, everybody in church today would say, oh yeah, we believe in the resurrected Christ, and if Jesus come walking down the aisle, y'all have a heart attack. Man, that door would get knocked down, windows would be busted out, stepping out of hand. He has appeared again. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Just appear. Just like that. He appeared, man. And then he disappeared. He had a real body. That's something about the resurrected body. Our body may be like this, huh? Just a little side note. We're going to get a body like him under his glorious body. The Bible tells us. He disappeared. That's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, boom, man. You're just there. Don't have to worry about the door. Just in and out, in and out. Man, he disappeared, right? That's what we want, right? We want him to appear, and he can and does, and still, and he's in our hearts, and we're here, and he should be coming with us. If we're full of Jesus, we got him in our heart. I pray to him in here, not out there, not up there, not out here. He's in here. He's in me, right? That's how we pray. And it makes you wonder what would happen, though. And the Emmaus Road, people had already seen him personally. And I wondered, I don't know that they were terrified. It said they were terrified and frightened. I wonder about them guys. They said, well, we already saw him. Maybe, I don't know. You know, but it says they. It didn't specify that they weren't, but it didn't. It says that they were terrified. Simon's, they'd heard about Simon's testimony. But here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. Emmaus Road disciples, they had a witness, a testimony that Jesus was alive. And it says that Simon, those other disciples said, well, Simon had told us the same thing. They saw the resurrected Christ. But guess what? They and you and me, we need our experience with Christ. We have to see the resurrected Christ with our spiritual eye, our mind's eye, our heart's eye. We have to have that experience with the resurrected Christ. See, there's a lot of people, if Christ showed up, they're going to be affrighted, all right. Because they know what kind of life they've been living. They know what the reality of, or the lack thereof, of their salvation is. And Jesus shows up on the scene. They're going to be like those demons, the legion of demons that had possessed the maniac of Gadara. Said, Lord, don't send us just totally away, but send us into these swine. But they wanted to get out of the presence of Jesus. Trust me. They didn't want to be in the presence of Jesus. And that's why everybody in the world isn't in church today. And that's why everybody in the world, when you come cruising up to the door with a Bible in your hand, and they see it's a Bible, buddy, they locked it up, man, they locked up. I had a guy lock it up on me one time, man. I knew he was in there. I just kept banging on the door. I just wanted to act. I knew he saw me. He saw me coming. He was sitting up there like this. He was sitting up on the front porch. He was sitting up there, had his legs crossed, and I come up. He saw me. He
went inside.
And I had on a white shirt and a tie, and I had my Bible. He locked the door. He said, and I went up there. And he wouldn't come out. I was grinning like I'm grinning now. He never did come to the door. What was he afraid of? It's just the Word of God. Huh?
Amen.
But them demons don't want nothing to do with the Word of God. The demons don't want anything to do with the Word of God. There it is. So, man, here these guys were, man. It's important for your own experience. And he gave them this blessing of peace. He said, my peace be upon you. Oh, that's a great word to hear from Jesus, right? That's a great word. And then he said, look at my wounds. Everybody talks about scars, but you know the Bible don't say scars. It says wounds. Look. He said, give me something to eat. I eat it. He said, a spirit doesn't eat. And he ate with him. And then look at verse 45. This is great. This is key. Get my fingers to work. And he then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It's an open mind, see. He opened their mind. This is really what it is. There's only so much we can understand of the Word of God apart from the Holy Spirit of God. We can understand the basic things, maybe the need of salvation. But God's the one that really opens up your mind, the spiritual eye, to see what the Word said. Now they understood what Jesus had been saying all along. I've had times in the Bible I read a verse that seemed to me was contradictory to another verse, but I knew there wasn't any contradiction in the Bible. And man, I tell you what, I did what's unusual for us to do. I didn't go to the commentaries. Didn't look it up on phone. I laid on the bedroom floor, and I said, God, I know this seems like it's saying one thing, but I know according to your word in other places, this isn't it. Just like that, this scripture came into my mind. This scripture came into my mind. I said, I know what, I looked it up real fast. Yep, there's the answer, man. Boom, just like that. God opens up our understanding, our eyes. And then that is the final source of peace. Here's the final source of peace. I mean, yes, we have the Holy Spirit of God. But listen, the Holy Spirit of God doesn't work outside the realm of the Word of God. You know, it's not the Holy Spirit of God above the Word of God. It's all the same. So the Holy Spirit always deals. Listen, the Holy Spirit could, by His power, just say, all right, any of us here, I am going to put all the knowledge of the Word of God in your head and in your heart. He could do that. Then he said, study to show thyself the truth unto God, workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly divided and word of truth. He told us to read the Word of God. So could the Holy Spirit bring a scripture to mind apart from the Bible, not knowing what it is in the Bible? He could, but he doesn't. See, we study the Word of God, and we got a scripture in our mind, and then there's a temptation, a trial, whatever it may be, a fear, a doubt, whatever, need. And what happens? Because we study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit brings that word to our mind. That's why when Jesus, who is the Word, when Satan tempted him in the wilderness, Jesus, every temptation, he said, it is written. He quoted him the verse. It is written. He did it just like we can do it. Even though he was God in the flesh, he didn't use his divinity to defeat Satan. He used what you and I got to use. Why? Because he wants you and I to know how to defeat Satan the same way he defeated him. It is written. My Bible looks like I done beat somebody to death with it. And I know you guys just had a Bible a long time. You always kind of don't want to get a new one. You know, you got your old familiar. I can pick this up in the dark. And if I was blind, I can pick it up and I know this is mine. Not, it wouldn't be shared. I picked up one the other day. I said, that's not mine. It's in about half dark. I couldn't see. I know this is mine. It's an old familiar friend, right? It's sad. But next week when Dwayne comes, we're going down to Scripture Truth. I'm getting a new Bible. Man, my binding's coming loose. My pages are starting to get raggedy. I'll keep it. I gave you one time, man. I gave you one time. And that I had preset. Look at my little tassel thing that you're supposed to mark your book. That thing's so raggedy, there's hardly any of it sticking out the bottom of it. I'm going to get a new one, man. It's going to have that new smell. I kind of did it. But I tell you what, that's how a Bible ought to look like somebody been beat to death.
Amen.
That's what it looks like. One of the things is I got the index version. I can't read my index any longer, but I'm going to get a new one. No, I can find them. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get another one. But, man, I'm telling you what, that's how it ought to be. It ought to be that you wear them out. I've wore out a few of them. I don't know how many. It ain't way up there, but I've wore. It takes a while. But I'm going to get the Word of God. It ought to look like somebody got beat to death with the Word of God. And somebody might have been. But this is it. This is where our peace is. Listen, even though we need a personal experience with Jesus, Jesus sends us, and we got the commission here and then at the end of all the Gospels. He sends us out in the world not really to share our personal experience with the world. That isn't what he said. He said, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. He sends us out in the world to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
To give people the Word of God. It's good to have a testimony. You ought to have a testimony, but he technically didn't send us out there. Our testimony is not going to transform anybody's life. The Word of God is going to transform. Send them out there and teach the Word of God. That's what he did. And he opened up their understanding so that they can understand the Word of God. Today, we can't touch, handle, see the wounds in the same way, and we don't need to. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. And then lastly, the thing he gave, open mouths. An open mouth, verse 52 through 53, last two verses, he said, this was after Jesus came. He, in verse 51, he blessed them. He was parted from them. He carried up to heaven. Look what happened. And they worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And look here, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Man, listen, the first thing the Emmaus Road disciples did, man, when after Jesus opened up their mind, their understanding, opened up their eyes, they ran back to Jerusalem because they had a story to tell. They wanted to tell somebody about it. Those disciples that were in the upper room, they had a story to tell. And they started telling them that same thing. But who told them to do it? Who told them, listen, man, you need to go and just start telling everybody about Jesus? He told them that they were going to be witnesses. Remember, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. So the day of Pentecost hadn't come. Who told them they had to do it? Nobody. It was just God intercept. The love of God. They wanted to share what they knew about Jesus. They weren't really wanting to share about what Jesus did in them and for them. They wanted to share about, man, listen, he is resurrected from the dead, man, and he came and talked with us, and he gave us his peace and those things right there. But you know what? Here's the thing. It's not, they didn't have a command to it. It was just done out of the love of God that was in their heart. Nobody told them to go and share. Nobody. Jesus, when he left them, Mass, where the disciples said, look, I want y'all to go to Jerusalem. I want you to go. They just went down, and this is what they wanted to do. And nobody had them. What a difference it would make. Think about this. If we all came to church and we had something to share about what Jesus had been doing in our life all week long, what Jesus had done in our life today, just think if we got to church and that's all we could talk about, huh? I mean, just think about that. Boy, you know what? We wouldn't have to say, hey, listen, anybody got a praise and hear nothing? If anybody got a testimony and hear nothing, we wouldn't have that. And listen, there's too many dead churches and too many dead church services because too many haven't experienced the living Christ themselves, and they don't have anything to say. Eyes haven't been opened. Mind hasn't been opened. Mouth is therefore not open. Listen, witnessing all those things, you think, man, it'd been cool to have been around in those days, wouldn't it? It would have been kind of cool. Well, yeah, I like a shower, you know, but I mean, it would have been kind of, but you know what, to see some of that? But I'll tell you what, there's a privilege. And we have witnessed it. If you're saved, listen, you've witnessed it in another way. It's a privilege. And with a privilege, there's always a responsibility. Always a responsibility. Look what happened. It says they witnessed and then they worshiped. Who told them to stay there and worship? They were continually, that means all the time, every time there was a time to be at the temple, they were at the temple. And here's the thing. See, witnessing really isn't something that we do anyway. It's what God does through us. Jesus does it through us. We don't have the capacity, in a sense. Jesus does it through us. And they witness, and man, I mean, we have to surrender to him. We have to allow him to work in our life. We have to say, you know, you have to say yes. But the Lord does it through us. Man, I'm telling you what a blessing that is. The tomb opened. The question is then for us, you know, and you, have your eyes been open? Has your mind been open? And if your eyes and mind are open, I'm going to tell you what, your mouth will be open. You'll be telling people about what the Lord has done, what the Lord can do. You'll be sharing the gospel with people right there. You'll be looking for people that need to be saved and talk to them about the Lord. Man, that's going to be all the difference in the world right there. That's what the difference is, really. How'd you like to have been in that church service? Come on up here, Paul. We're about done. How'd you like to have been in that church service? After the Lord had met with him, and then he came in the upper room, and then he left, and buddy, they went down, and they said they were worshiping him and praising God. You better believe it. That's how it ought to be. It's not any different today. The problem is, you can't come here and expect me to have an experience from you. You got to have it yourself. And then when we all get together, we might not even have to preach the Word of God. I shouldn't say have to. We might not get to it because of everything that everybody wanted to praise the Lord for. Amen? That's the difference in what happened. It's just as much real as it is today. And if it's not that way in your life, I'm going to tell you what, there's a reason for it. It's either the salvation reason or the fact that you've hindered the Holy Spirit to the point you're not surrendering your life to Jesus. You're not looking for him to speak to you. You're not looking to the Word. You're not looking in worship. You're not looking in the things of life, of what God is doing in your life, man. And your eyes haven't been opened by him. He's got to open your eyes. But I'll tell you what, you have to be looking. You got to be looking. God spoke to your heart today. We have an invitation if you need.